seated. Well, I love the spring quarter, not just because of the warming weather and the greening earth that we have out there, although that's part of the joy of it. It's not just because of some special events we have during the spring quarter, the support dinner, which is always a fun time, or, Dr. Gamble's back on campus. That's a great reason to rejoice him being here. We have graduation. There's just a lot of fun things that happen during the spring quarter. But the reason I really look forward to the spring quarter is because there's a focus here at RPTS on outreach. We have our evangelism class takes place in the spring quarter, and so we always hear of evangelistic contacts taking place. And this year, Matthew Everhard's going to be teaching that, so I'm excited about just how God uses him in that class. Dr. Gamble has his apologetics project where he has students interact with unbelievers and people to try to help them to think through the gospel in a more clear fashion. In my preaching practicum, the students will be preparing an evangelistic message that they have to go preach in an evangelistic setting. And so there's just a lot of evangelism that takes place during the spring quarter. There's counseling going on and things of that nature. And so I just wanted to kind of set that tone, remind you of that theme today by reflecting on the lost being found. And there's no better chapter to look at in the scriptures than Luke 15, because it has three of those stories. I'm going to focus on one of those stories today. It's got the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and then, of course, the story of the lost son. And as you reflect on each of those parables that Jesus tells, those stories that Jesus tells, I think each one in its own way shines some different light or gives us a different perspective and perhaps a touch point when we're thinking about reaching the lost, where we come to them and help them to see their need for the gospel. And maybe you could see that in thinking about these short little questions. The lost sheep. You might ask people, you've been wandering? Because that sheep was wandering and got lost. Or if you go to the lost son, living wastefully? Because there's a lot of people out here living in wasteful ways. Or that middle story, the short one, that I'm going to focus on with you for here for a few minutes this morning, with the lost coin. And maybe the question to raise out of that is feeling worthless. Feeling worthless. I want us to focus on that today. I'm just going to tell you this parable because it's a short enough one. I memorized it. I might not get every word right, but I'm not so worried about that right now. Jesus tells it. He says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep her house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." There is joy before the angels of God when one sinner repents. Jesus here is comparing a coin to a sinner. A lost coin to a lost sinner. Why? I think the simple reason is that an item of value lost from the hand of its owner becomes worthless. Becomes of not the value that we would want. And so that's what I think is being emphasized here. That a valuable item that's not in the hand of its owner becomes worthless to you. Let me illustrate. A number of years ago, I was at a family conference down in Tennessee. And one afternoon, another family, actually Andy McCracken and his family and ours, decided to go up into the Smoky Mountains, into a park where there's a beautiful mountain stream, and have a nice afternoon there with our children. It was over an hour drive, but it was worth it because when we got up there into that cool mountain air in the summer day, there's just this beautiful mountain, the creek, small river running down the mountain with all these stones and little pools where the kids could play. And we spent the whole afternoon there enjoying that time in the water. But then when it came time to leave, and Andy went to put on behind this big boulder his shorts again and change out of his swimming suit, he realized he didn't have his key to his car. And so we began looking in rocks and water for this key, and we couldn't find it. And we're getting a little desperate because we couldn't all fit in one car. And so someone was going to have to drive all the way back and get some help, because I think that was his only key, and come back. And, you know, little kids, dark, we didn't know what was going to happen. Well, I decided to try one other thing. I went up on that big rock that he had stood at. There was this big boulder in front of it. And he'd said that when he took off his shorts, he went like this and then folded them. And so I said, well, what if he went like this? I wonder what would happen. I went up there and I just imagined it happened. Maybe his key went flying, and I look over, and about 10 feet on the mossy bank with a beam of light coming through the leaves of the trees, there is a shiny key sitting there. And my goodness, were we happy when that key got put back into Andy's hand. There on the bank, that key was pretty worthless to us. But in its owner's hand, it's highly valuable because it gives you access to the car and allows you to drive the car. Well, I believe that's what Jesus is teaching in this parable. Coin can have value, but if it's not in your hand, it becomes kind of worthless. And I think a lot of people in our world today are feeling that. They feel kind of worthless. And they try to find other ways to obtain a worthiness, obtain a standing in this world. Some people do that by pursuing success in their career or the achievement of many riches. If you feel worthless, what could make you maybe feel a value than having lots of possessions? And so people go out and seek fame and fortune. And yet that's an empty road. And some even recognize that. Just recently, Jim Carrey, the Hollywood comic and movie star, he said this. He says, I wish everyone could become rich and famous and successful, and then they would see for themselves. But that's not the answer. Pretty big admission from a guy who does have it all. Other people in our world don't feel valued in what they see maybe in the mirror. There's a lot of people in our world questioning their identity and not feeling valued enough with the identity that they have, and so they try to change their identity. Women would feel more valued, they think, if they were a man in today's society, and so they make that change. Some men who want to achieve sports records can't run fast enough or can't wrestle hard enough, and so they start identifying as a woman so they could win some races finally or a wrestling match. And yet why is it that so many who go down that road feel so empty at the end? And the statistics tell us that the suicide rate among the transgendered is a great multiple of normal rates. They're discovering sad and sad ways that you do feel worthless if you're not in the hand of your owner, and yet they are chasing that through empty pursuits, through trying to find value in how other people look at them, or find value in what they see in a mirror. And God's word tells us that you do have a value because you were made in the image of God. You were made to reflect the glory and the power and the beauty of God. But the problem is you're not in your master's hand. And that image that should reflect that has been, through sin, just shattered like a broken mirror. And you're looking at little fragments of the picture and trying to put the pieces together. And you just can't do that. Look at this story. Jesus is teaching us this. He has this woman who has these silver coins and she loses one. And I think in just the simple details that the Lord has here, he's really communicating quite a bit, actually. I think this woman, it doesn't say she's a widow in the story, per se, but I think you can probably figure that out, because Luke talks a lot about widows in the gospel. And it says that when she finds the coin, she doesn't call her husband or her children. She calls friends and neighbors to come and rejoice with her. If you've ever wondered, you know, why did she sweep the floor of her house? Well, it's probably because it was dirt floors. She's a poor woman. You know, she's got 10 coins, but these aren't gold coins. These are just more common silver coins. It's not a lot of value, but it was to her to find that one. And so she's got the broom out with the lamp, moving the dirt around so that the glow of the lamp might shine upon the coin and she can find it and discover it there. And so Jesus has this poor woman diligently seeking a coin so that it can be placed back into her hand and used with the value that it possesses. I think we see in that a picture of Christ, who wasn't made in the image of God, but who the scriptures tell us is the very image of God. And he left heaven and he came to earth and took on our identity, became man, so that he could diligently seek and save that which was lost. And he did that by an act of ultimate value and going to the cross at Calvary and shedding his blood, which the scriptures say is more precious than silver and gold, because it has the power to save and redeem a lost soul. And that's what he did for us. And God showed that he has that power to save by raising him from the grave, so that any sinner hearing this message, knowing of this means of salvation, can be redeemed, can be brought and placed back into the hand of your Creator, your Heavenly Father, who has sent his Son in order to redeem that which is lost. So if you're feeling worthless, we need to tell people this. If you're feeling worthless, you need to come back into the hand of the one who created you, the very hand who offers salvation to you through his precious Son, Jesus Christ. You need to come back and understand the embrace of a Father in heaven who rejoices when one lost sinner is found. When we find lost things, it's a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to rejoice. When I was celebrating my first anniversary to Miriam, we were at a lake. And one day, during this few days we were there at our anniversary time, we were being pulled behind a boat on a tube bouncing along the lake. And it was a little cold that day, and on one of those bounces I saw my wedding ring that honors my 1 year anniversary pop off my finger and go down into the lake. I jump off the tube, as my wife did, and some others got off the boat, my brother and some others, and we were standing there in water this deep. And I couldn't see my belly button. It was so mucky. I thought, we're not going to ever find this thing. But my dad went back to the house, got some masks. And so we put these masks on and we go underwater. And again, you can't see your hand hardly in front of your face. But I'm not down there more than, you know, I came up for some air, but I'm not down there more than 3 or 4 minutes. With my nose almost on the bottom of the lake. And there was a beam of light, just kind of like in the Lord of the Rings, a beam of light. And there was my wedding ring. We've been married 38 years, 37 years later. It's there. And I'm still telling the story. And I don't have to worry about losing it because I've gotten a little fatter since then. When lost things are found, we rejoice. And it says, Jesus said in this parable that there is rejoicing, there's joy before the angels of God. I've often thought, you know, the angels rejoice, and I think they do, but their rejoicing is in response to what they're seeing. They're looking at the Father and the Son and the Spirit, the God of our salvation. And the joy that they're seeing, and the fact that what Christ came to do, to glorify the Father by saving and redeeming sinners. And when one of those sinners is brought home, the Father and Son are rejoicing. And the angels reflect that glory. Friends, we have evangelistic assignments and projects that an apologetics professor will give you, and a sermon you have to preach. But please don't treat them as mere assignments. Treat them as wonderful opportunities for you to go out and bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost sinners. And let's pray. Let's pray that there would be some heavenly rejoicing and some RPTS rejoicing this quarter, because God is still saving lost sinners. He's still taking those valuable people made in His image and putting them back into His hand through the gospel. Let's pray to that end. Father in heaven, how thankful we are for Your holy word and for Your Son who came as the incarnate word to make the message of heaven known to us. And we thank You, Father, that You have inscripturated that word for us. And sometimes You've just made it so very plain and simple so that we could not miss the point. And so we thank You for this parable that we've reflected on today. And Father, how we do pray that You would be pleased to use us, weak vessels as we are, to go out and search diligently for lost sinners. And God, we pray there would be many restored unto You. Father, do this for Your glory and Your glory alone, we ask in Christ. Amen. Let's sing further about that by turning to Psalm 87a. Psalm 87a, a wonderfully prophetic psalm where we hear these people that were known as the enemies of God, Philistines and Egyptians and Babylonians, born in different countries, but now saying, we're born in Zion. We are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. Let's sing and pray for that. Psalm 87a, please stand.